Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, good morning. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call Adam or Brian at 515-491-6348. And they'll send you a couple of guys. Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers. And it's this week has flown.
They always do.
You got a lot of driving in, though.
Oh, boy.
We talked a little bit about it last week that you decided to, you had the bright idea of driving out to Rhode Island.
Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking, but no, I had a great time.
You got to see a lot of God's country.
I did. But I was telling the guys earlier, I looked at my mileage. And in 30 days ending yesterday, I'd done 7,000 miles in a car.
Wow.
And I'm feeling it today.
I bet. So you got back when?
I got back about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. I took off from Rhode Island 7:30 Eastern time 2 days ago.
Yeah, I know when we talked on the phone.
I was in Ohio or something, wasn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you said Indiana, but you know, they all kind of run together.
Oh, they do. So... It's just one toll booth into the next toll booth.
Yeah.
I didn't think much about what state I was in.
You are a road warrior, and we honor you, sir.
That's very kind. Mostly what it is, you know, someone that's not bright enough to do it any other way, I guess.
Well, I enjoy driving, so I think that would be fun. I don't know if I'd want to break it up probably a little bit more than what you did. But I think it's kind of cool to just, you know, be able to see different parts of the country that you don't really get to see when you fly.
No. I admit, so, you know, I've done a lot of you know, road work over the years as part of my career, and I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, great. Well, hey, also September, if you're not aware, September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and this is a month that, you know, that's special to my wife and I. My son, Morgan, he's 2 years in remission, almost 2 years in remission now. It'll be October.
That's pretty cool, buddy.
Got Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he's a survivor. And you know, we're looking forward to when he can be declared totally cancer free. That won't happen for about 3 more years. He'll have continuous oncologist appointments just to check up because of the risk of secondary cancer based on the radiation and chemo he went through. But anyway, you know, something for, you know, one simple thing that you can do to help bring awareness to the month is go gold. I don't have a website. You could probably just Google it, Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And I'm sure they have a lot of resources for Facebook. I made my own cover photo for my Facebook profile as well as my profile picture. But you can certainly find stuff that's pre-made. But anyway, just help bring awareness because we don't really know why kids get cancer, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. We need to help bring awareness and help people realize, you know, more money needs to be poured into the research, and so we can hopefully put an end to this.
Well, cancer is an awful disease, and it hits everybody, but when it hits a child, it's just really devastating.
And, you know, we were fortunate that we probably had the best diagnosis we could possibly get with Morgan, but we know parents who were not so fortunate and have seen a couple, you know, pass away. So it's a sad thing. Anyway, on that sad note, I don't really have a good way
speaking of Morgan, you know, and how he's doing so well.
Oh, yes. Well, he that's right. I forgot Brian wanted to bring this up. Having a son who's musical is both a blessing and a curse.
Well, you got to back up, though. You got to let the listeners know that your office is in your home.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to get to that.
Unless you're working at a local coffee house, which we frequently do.
Yeah. I blog Facebook and tweet for a living, and I have the stereotypical office in my basement. At least I own the basement. It's not my parents' basement. But I still have...
That's a step in the right direction.
Exactly. So... My son likes to play. He said, "Dad, can I practice?" And it's like lunchtime.
And what instrument does he
drums,
play?
Drums, you know. So, and he's pretty good at it, but I finally gave in. It's like, okay, fine, I'll go eat lunch, you go practice. But that's the joy of the blessing of working at home. Anyway, with that, we have a special guest on the line, and I'm sure she's been fascinating. fascinated with all the our banter here. But we have Chelsen Vaccari. She's the Evangelical Action Director for the Institute on Religion and Democracy. She just wrote a new book that I think has not yet been released, and she'll correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Distortion, How the New Christian Left is Twisting the Gospel and Damaging the Faith. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Chelsen.
Good morning, Chelsen.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So, who is this new Christian left?
Yeah. So, well, let's back up. And yes, to hint to what you said earlier, the book has actually been released. It came out on Tuesday, September the 2nd, so your listeners could go and get it. But basically, the evangelical left, and this is a parent's guide in many ways to the evangelical left, is a group of progressive Christians who are twisting scripture to advance a very liberal political agenda. So your listeners may have noticed that there's something that's not quite right with the younger evangelicals. Something's a bit off on their stance when it comes to same-sex marriage, religious liberty, big government, and even the sanctity of life. So the purpose of me writing Distortion is to try and expose what's going on in the church. It's a problem without a name, but it's very liberal, and it's very much damaging our gospel.
So just some groups that identify with this particular movement, just so we're, you know, where this particular teaching is coming from, are they well organized?
Well, it's interesting. In many ways, they started as what was known as the emergent church movement.
Oh, yes.
That was
Tony
very
Jones
popular.
And, yep,
mm-hmm.
yep.
Brian McLaren and all those guys started very popular in the early and mid-90s, then got even more popular when I was in college in the early 2000s. But what happened was it was not very organized, and it wasn't gaining ground. And so it dissolved, and it dissolved into the very fabrics of our churches. So no longer was it the emergent church movement. Now it's just these professing Christians in places of leadership within Christian campuses and seminaries and churches and maybe your kids' Sunday schools. And that's where I encountered the evangelical left, and I totally bought into it. So I wanted to write about my experience and help faithful Christians understand, okay, there is this leftist political movement in our churches. We have to understand how to identify it, and then how to expose it, and then how to influence the millennials that we have and bring them back to authentic Christianity.
Okay, Chelsen, we got to back you up just a little bit here. So did I hear you just say that you were neck deep in this? That you bought, you drank the Kool-Aid. You bought what they were selling.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed to say it. I definitely drank the Kool-Aid. You know, I was raised in a very conservative Assemblies of God Christian home, and went to college, a public university, and got involved in a campus ministry at another college nearby, and it had the word Christian in it, so I automatically thought, oh, it must be sound. I started going.
Oh, wow.
Well,
it's unfortunate. Whoops. That isn't always the case anymore.
It's certainly not the case, and that's something I definitely want your listeners to know. But anyway, I started coming home and fighting with my parents and telling them that they were bigoted or hateful because they weren't endorsing and affirming same-sex behavior, or that they were not for economic justice if that looked like abortion when it was necessary. And I was a total feminist. I was confusing social justice for the expanding the nanny state and welfare and mass amnesty for illegal immigrants. I just was coming back with a political agenda, and my parents knew something was wrong. But I wrote this book because my parents had no idea who was influencing me. They didn't know the books I was reading, what was being taught. So that's what I try and do in Distortion. I try and outline, this is what your kids might be being taught. Mm-hmm. And if they're coming home fighting with you about same-sex marriage or whatever it might be that you know is counter to scripture, this is what you need to know, whether that be scripture or social science that always affirms scripture, to counter what your kids are being taught. Because honestly, authentic Christianity is learned most in the home. My parents were trying to do that, but when they don't know what I'm being taught, they have a hard time countering it.
Sure. And that's one thing a lot of parents are really caught unaware, even with outside of this movement. Just, you know, the first thing you said, you went to a public university, and already there, you know, you're encountering forces that are hostile to authentic Christian faith. But as well as, you know, especially parents, you know, if they're, you know, public, if they have their kids in public school or even private school, especially as you as they get older and kids get, you know, connect with friends, there's less and less and less time as they get older to really influence. And it's something I think a lot of parents, you know, I was a youth pastor for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And one thing I tried to encourage my parents to do was, hey, we are a resource for you, but, you know, the main responsibility for shepherding and discipling your kids is you. And you need to help, you know, raise up your, make sure you're preparing your kids for when they leave the nest. And they're going to encounter things that are totally contrary to what we believe. And it's unfortunate. And I think even worse, when you went to a public university and you found this distortion, and that's a great title, by the way, you know, within a ministry that's supposed to be a gospel ministry, but unfortunately it wasn't. So how did your parents react to you coming home and saying, you know, whenever somebody calls me a bigot, that just makes me warm and fuzzy, you know, so I'm sure they responded in kind.
Hey, Shane, maybe we can, there's a more obvious question if we could start chronologically.
Sure.
What did she find attractive that made her, you know, have this sort of theological overhaul from how she was raised to what she was seeing in these, in
great
these
question.
Christian groups? That'd be the first thing.
Yep.
Yep, Brian, that's a great question, because what I found so attractive is that I got to appeal to everyone. So I got to be compassionate, and culture was starting to accept me. You know, those gay friends that I had, I no longer had to offend them, because that's what you do when you say that I stand for traditional marriage. I could make everyone happy. I could make popular culture happy. I could make Christians happy. I thought that I was making Christ happy. So everyone's good. My professors loved me, you know, because I had this feminist worldview. And if you're a woman, a young woman in college, and you want to get on the dean's list, the quickest way is to declare yourself a feminist. And that's what I did.
I thought grades had something to do with that.
That's where I went wrong.
And I know, me too. So
yeah, well, you have to be able to write your papers well, but
as long as
they have a feminist bent, you probably are going to get it in eight. Or at least that's what I recognize and caught on to. So, but then going back to my parents' reaction, they were just devastated. I mean, they, again, just didn't know where I was getting this from. And, of course, we had our share of yelling matches. But my parents did something that is vital, and they continued to pray. And they were praying so hard for me. And they also didn't stop speaking about God's truth and love, even if it caused yelling matches, which I would be the one yelling, to be quite honest. Mm. So they just made sure that they tried to ensure that I was, you know, Chelsea, put down your Rob Bell and pick up your Bible, and you'll learn what is actually truth. And then I finally took that advice, because I just wanted them to get off my back. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I have so much wrong. And, you know, I really am trying to just gain approval from the world, and I'm not following Christ's commandments.
Exactly. Jesus pretty much promised, you know, if we're following the gospel, we're not going to make a bunch of people happy. You know,
exactly.
So, and that's something that I think young Christians need to be aware of. Is if you're living authentic faith, I mean, you're going to be persecuted. Obviously, we don't face persecution like what we see in other parts of the world. Our persecution may be a loss of a job, or just, you know, being mocked and harassed. Fortunately, right now in this country, we don't have to face physical persecution, but that could be coming too. And, you know, so that's vital. So, what woke you up?
Yep.
Besides the Holy Spirit.
Well, it sounds like the Word of God was you know, absolutely vital to this process, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Exactly. It was first and foremost. But something that the evangelical left did that caused so much confusion in my life is that they started, and they do this very well, they paint inconsistencies in Scripture, and then they start to question the authority and inerrancy of Scripture. And then we have even red-letter Christians who say, oh, well, you only really have to follow the good parts in the Bible that focus on, you know, Jesus healing the poor or healing the sick and feeding the poor. That's all we really need to focus on. Don't worry about the Old Testament at all. And so that caused gray areas in my mind. And then I thought, well, gosh, I don't know what's right from wrong anymore. And so thankfully, yes, first and foremost, the Holy Spirit did help me to help reveal truth, but he did it through the mentors in my life. So first and foremost, my parents. And then second, I had a professor in grad school. I thankfully chose to go to a Christian graduate school, and a professor recognized my worldview was very off, and so he was helping me, pointing to Scripture to kind of, and social science, by the way, that played a big role because I depend a lot on logical reasoning. And so sometimes, to be honest, it wasn't enough for them, the mentors in my life, to say, well, the Bible says so. I needed to see it in action, and the action is always the social science. You know, marriage is defined by God as between one man and one woman, but then when a professor was saying, but look at the consequences if we let marriage fall apart in our nation, Chelsea, or look at the results of children raised with both a mom and a dad, you can't tear down marriage because it's going to be devastating to our economy, to kids, their welfare. You know, so all of that helped me to kind of open my eyes. But again, that's why I write this book, to the adults in the room, if you will, anyone who has influence over a millennial, because without those vessels in my life speaking God's truth to me, with a spirit of love, by the way, they did not do it in a harsh, condemning way, I would not be here doing the work that I do today. So thankfully, the Holy Spirit was tugging on my heart, and He was using others around me, my mentors, to speak truth and love.
Where can people find your book? We're almost out of time.
Sure. So easily, they can just go onto Amazon, download it, or order the paperback, or you can send in a donation to the Institute on Religion and Democracy, and if anyone who gives $50 or more, we'll send you a signed copy as soon as we can.
Awesome. Great. We appreciate you coming on. And
absolutely.
This is a vital discussion to have, and because we've seen how the millennials and the younger generations kind of slipping away, and parents, it's vital that you just continually prepare your kids for what they're going to face when they go out in the world.
And pray and
make sure you're discipling them. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on September 20th in Des Moines. I want to also invite you to attend Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston, Iowa, the following day, where Dr. James Wanless of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation will be lecturing after the morning worship service. Reverend Michael Erickson will be preaching on a Christian worldview. So come at 9:30 the morning of September 21st and enjoy a great time of worship, preaching and instruction at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church, meeting at the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. That's the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. See you there.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa. And I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website, conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint, without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'd like to invite you to our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on Saturday, September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. It starts at 8 a.m. and you can register at CaffeinatedThoughts.com by following the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link.
We've got a great list of speakers, including Eric Gorenson, Dr. Bob Stoffer, State Senator Jack Whitfer, Jennifer Bowen, Dr. Sam Clovis, and Dr. E. Calvin Beisner.
This conference is sponsored by M&A Movement and Hauling Providence, Industrial Electronics Repair, and Nurse Force.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, and on the line we have Steve Lonergan. And Steve has an interesting bio. He's former New Jersey U.S. Senate candidate, former gubernatorial candidate, former mayor, a former state director, I believe, with Americans for Prosperity. And now he's the director of monetary policy with the American Principles Project launch. And he launched, along with Steve Forbes this week, the Fix the Dollar, basically initiative campaign. So welcome, Steve, to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Shane, it's great to be with you guys in Iowa. Thank you. Well, actually, in all over the country when you're on the internet.
Oh, yes. We have national and international reach so you and can, you know, your message will get out to our...
Yeah, we got guys in Russia listening to
that's
us,
true.
I'm sure.
That's true, yeah. And that one guy in Finland.
Russia's talking about restoring a gold standard, so maybe they are listening.
Yeah. Hey, maybe.
Some days I think they have more sense than we do about such things.
And then Putin talks, and then you wonder.
Unfortunate.
So, hey, well, tell us about this Fix the Dollar campaign. What's this all about? Why do we need to fix the dollar, Steve?
Jay, why this is important is because what we're witnessing in America, and it's impacting every single one of us, is we're watching the American dollar being debased by a Federal Reserve Bank that simply prints money out of thin air. And when I say prints it out of thin air, that's exactly what they do. They just create money at an astonishing rate, and there's nothing behind the money that they create. It only exists as long as Americans in the world believes it's worth something. There was a time through the majority of American history that American money was backed by gold, it was backed by silver, it had real value. You could walk into a bank and you could redeem your certificate, your Federal Reserve note, for something of tangible value that couldn't be taken away from you. Right now, if you were to walk into the bank with your Federal Reserve note, all you can ask to redeem it for is maybe your share of that subprime mortgage portfolio that they have sitting in their asset balance sheet. What you're seeing because of this, and really that's not it, if you think about it, the bank has been buying up these toxic assets from the big banks, so their assets are a bunch of toxic assets. That's what backs the American dollar.
That's encouraging. So they buy black holes.
In the last decade, 10 years ago, there was $664 billion in cash in currency in circulation. There's $2.79 trillion today. That's over a 400% increase in the amount of money floating around out there in 10 years. Now, what does this mean? The simplest lesson that every American knows is from economics, whether they took economics or not, is about supply and demand. The more you have of something, the less it's worth. And what we've done is we've taken Americans who have worked hard and saved all of their lives, put money in the bank, they've been frugal, they've scraped, they've made sacrifices. If you walk into a bank right now and you've managed in your lifetime to save that iconic number of $1 million, which is still a lot of money in most people's minds, is sort of like a milestone towards being financially independent. Mm-hmm. If you have $1 million in the bank, they'll pay you a whopping $10,000 a year in interest. Maybe $12,000 if you're lucky, if you want a FDI-insured safe investment. That's not enough money to pay your rent on a decent apartment in most places, or to have the kind of liberty or freedom that you think you'd have when you become a quote-unquote millionaire. So the Federal Reserve Bank, by being able to print money out of nothing, has basically relegated savers and people who accumulate wealth to obscurity. I mean, they're obsolete. We don't need savers anymore. We just print money out of nothing. Through the entire course of human history, any society that has been built on a structure of paper money eventually collapses. Now, I'm not on your show predicting some apocalyptic collapse.
There's
no scientific proof that that's going to happen tomorrow or whenever. But I'll tell you this, if you're a middle-income family and you're out of work and you're losing your house in foreclosure, you're living your own little apocalypse.
Very true.
Steve, it's a matter of opinion.
Steve, real quickly, because I know there's a lot of people that hear this term and have no idea what it means. Can you explain very simply what quantitative easing is?
Quantitative easing, there was QE1, then there was something called TWIST, then there was QE2, now we're into what's called QE3. Quantitative easing was the process of creating money out of nothing to bail out the big banks when the collapse came in 07. Let me give you an idea of the scope of what they did. And the idea of quantitative easing is kind of just a funny term. In other words, by producing a vast quantity of money, they're going to ease a financial collapse or at least postpone it. Between the year 1913, when the Federal Reserve System was established, and the year 2007, when Lehman Brothers collapsed, the Federal Reserve had gone out and acquired $900 billion in assets. When they acquire assets, they print money, and they put it into, and those, they go to a big bank and they say, we're going to buy your mortgage portfolio. Or they go to the federal government and they say, we're going to buy your treasury bonds. And they print money to do that. And then that money gets out into the economy. So from 1913 to 2007, they accumulated $900 billion by buying these assets. In the 3 months that followed the collapse of Lehman Brothers, when they realized AIG was collapsing, that number went from $900 billion to $2.1 trillion. Mm. They went out and bought $1.2 trillion of bad bills, bad debts, from the big banks to keep them afloat. As of today, 7 years later, that balance sheet stands at $4.1 trillion. They've been buying these toxic assets. They buy Federal Reserve notes to keep the government afloat, and that's what backs your dollar. The other huge issue is that nobody evaluates the true value of these so-called assets. It's $4.1 trillion is the number they're telling us. We don't even know what's the fair market value. I mean, what really is a bad mortgage worth on the free market? Not a lot.
True.
So they're playing fast and loose. And what's happened, here's what's happened, Shane, is that easy money has made it very easy for the government to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm a conservative. I've been in the conservative movement for 30 years, going back to Reagan. You know, you go to these conservative libertarian conventions, they rail on about big government, how it's getting bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And then they accept the Federal Reserve System, which is driving big government because they provide the easy money that funds big government.
Sure.
Whether you're a conservative who wants to fund a war in Iraq or a liberal who wants to grow a welfare program, the Fed prints the money for you. So this is what's facilitating the growth of government, undermining our liberty, destroying the value of our savings, and creating wage stagnation and a rising cost of living for middle Americans. You know, when Barack Obama gets up and says the rich are getting richer and mm-hmm. the poor are getting poorer, he's right. But it's not because of free market capitalism.
No.
It's because of the failed... We don't have any free market capitalism in this country.
I was going to say, that's...
You can't have it. When the central planners control your money, you cannot have free market capitalism.
Very true.
That's a tragedy.
So what can we do? You're launching this campaign. What's your end goal?
Our end goal in the near term is to convince all of these candidates who want to be president, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, to take a position on the issue, to acknowledge the failures of the Federal Reserve, and to respond to the people's demands for sound money. The long-term goal is to reestablish the gold standard, which backs money supply, gives it real value, mm-hmm. stops the government's ability to print out of nowhere, guarantees the value of your assets. You know, the gold standard was ended on August 15th, 1971 by Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
In the 40 years prior to the establishment of the gold standard, we had average GDP growth of 4.5% and average unemployment of 4.2%. In the 40 years since then, we've had average GDP growth of 3.5% and unemployment of close to 6%.
Wow.
If we had maintained the economic growth in the last 40 years that we had the 40 years prior to Richard Nixon ending the gold standard, our economy would be 50% bigger. The average American would have wages and income 50% greater. We'd have less inflation and a much, much higher quality of living. And you know what's really ironic to me, Shane, is that Richard Nixon was driven out of office, you know, by Democrats and Republicans because people couldn't trust him. They said he couldn't trust Tricky Dick.
Uh-huh.
But we've trusted him on making the most profound, important decisions on the value of our money our entire
life. I was just thinking that. It's like, yeah, you rarely hear anybody rail about that. But that was the biggest, mistake of all the mistakes. One of the biggest mistakes he made in office was ending the gold standard. Republican. Go figure.
Well, he didn't think he was making a mistake. Here's what happened. First you had the impact of FDR and the Great Society. Then you had the 1964 and the Lyndon Johnson, the rollout of the Great Society, Medicare, Medicaid, government-funded low-income housing. By 1971, the government needed money to fund these programs, and they couldn't raise it through taxation. They needed to print it. That was the real reason they had to end the gold standard. They could just print, print, print. But if you go to my website at fixthedollar.com and you go to my opening message, you can go to a link and you can see Richard Nixon's four-minute speech from August 15th, 1971, where he basically gets up and says, we have to end this, like, this clandestine, tricky thing called the gold standard. Kind of funny coming from Tricky Dick. But,
well, Steve... As I look back on the last quarter century of national politics, I can only really remember, I'm sure there are more guys out there than this, but I really only remember two politicians talking about the gold standard. One was the late Jack Kemp, and the other one, of course, was Steve Forbes.
Oh, Ron Paul.
Well, that, yeah.
Ron Paul.
Let me rephrase that. Of the Republicans. Sorry.
And back in the 1980s under Ronald Reagan, and Reagan was a pro-gold standard guy. They established a Centennial Commission, what's happening to America is we are now, you'll notice that we're now sort of accepting 6% unemployment as normal.
Hmm.
Like, if we could just get under 6%, I got a better idea. How about we get under 3%? We're accepting a low GDP growth rate. We're sort of accepting this mediocrity. This is it. America's over. It's heyday's past. Now we're sort of we have this massive amount of productivity and resources behind us. We've continued to lead the world in technological advancement, whether it's an iPhone or what have you. But we're accepting this sort of low-key misery because people just don't know any better. And they accept it. And that's not acceptable to me. We can restore a golden age of equitable prosperity where everyone can grow and prosper and build real wealth. But to do that, we have to take back control of our money.
Well, Steve, that's a great segue to the last question I had. Given everything that they've done, because this is the thing that I've been concerned about, everything that they've done, some people have suggested that it's really too late to save the dollar. It's too late. It's too late to roll things back. How do you respond to that?
Well, listen, is it too late now, or do you wait for a collapse to come and then you say it's too late? I got it. That's like, what do you mean it's too late? We're just going to sit back and wait for disaster?
Mm.
There's no such thing. I mean, the country has gone on and off a gold standard before. There was no gold standard during the Revolution. They printed the Continentals by the Continental Congress. We remember the term not worth a continental. They were just paper money.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were the greenbacks during the Civil War. So we certainly can reestablish gold standard, and I think you're going to see that happen. But I want to just go back to a little book, guys, called The Tale of Two Cities, which opened up with some of the most profound words in literature. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times,
mm-hmm.
in which Charles Dickens is writing about, the terror of the French Revolution. Dickens, in one sentence, sums up exactly what caused that social upheaval in France. In the fourth paragraph, he writes, "France had engaged in the printing of money and spending it,
wow.
debasing the French franc and causing social upheaval." We go to these meetings and we hear people pontificate, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat itself. That's all just rhetoric because politicians say it all the time, yet they're doing it right now.
Exactly.
So we need to, I'm going to be out in Iowa.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. In September.
You're going to be our event.
Where I can. That's right, and we're going to sound the alarm. People will understand this. If given the opportunity, Americans get it. It's the politicians who don't get it.
Great. So that's great, and you can learn more about this project at fixthedollar.com, correct, or .org?
Fixthedollar.com.
And also check out AmericanPrinciplesProject.org as well to find out more about the American Principles Project, as well as AmericanPrinciplesInAction.org. Steve, thank you so much for coming on. We look forward to having you at our briefing on the 20th.
Absolutely.
So please,
I am really looking forward to being out in Iowa. So thank you, guys.
Hey, very welcome. So, be sure to register. Go to CaffeinateThoughts.com and click the Caffeinate Thoughts briefing link to register for our briefing on September 20th. And Steve is gone. And we'll be back. This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio.
He left Shane in Banner. A hurry.
Yeah, he did. He had to go. Fix that dollar. We'll be back.
This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'd like to invite you to our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on Saturday, September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. It starts at 8 a.m. and you can register at CaffeinatedThoughts.com by following the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link.
We've got a great list of speakers, including Eric Gorenson, Dr. Bob Stouffer, State Senator Jack Whitfer, Jennifer Bowen, Dr. Sam Clovis, and Dr. E. Calvin Beisner.
This conference is sponsored by M&A Movement in Hauling and Providence, Industrial Electronics Repair, and Nurse Force.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hi, this is Brian Myers at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on September 20th in Des Moines. I want to also invite you to attend Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston, Iowa, the following day, where Dr. James Wanless of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation will be lecturing after the morning worship service. Reverend Michael Erickson will be preaching on a Christian worldview. So come at 9:30 the morning of September 21st. And enjoy a great time of worship, preaching, and instruction at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church, meeting at the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. That's the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. See you there.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers. And we've come to our segment in the show where we just talk about, you know, different news, current events, news that hopefully you can use. We're going to depart a little bit from the norm.
Usually, so you introduce the news segment and then say, well, we're not going to do that after.
No, we are going to. This is a current event.
Okay.
We usually just stick to politics, but we decided to get into the arts today.
Yeah.
Kinda. Garth Brooks was on, basically retired for, gosh, I don't know how many years. It's his first single since 2008. It has a simple message: hugs, not drugs. It's people loving people. And I full disclosure, and this maybe this might turn you off from listening to this show in the future.
Then don't do that.
One is, I admit I'm a country fan. I like country music. So those who know me know that I like country music. I also like contemporary Christian music as well, and I got eclectic music taste. I have a deep appreciation for Garth Brooks. I love some of his earlier stuff. It's just fun to sing along with in the car. Not so much with this new song. We're going to play a little bit of it, and you be the judge. But I think it stinks. And maybe we'll play.
I think it stinks.
Cool so far.
Doctor, you ain't got a pill for whatever's making this world ill. You can't get forgiveness at the store.
It's not so bad.
For peace, it's a politician's war. You won't find no resolution in the bottom of a bottle, in the stars or every star. The only answer to the problem is people, loving people. That's the enemy of everything is evil. Ooh. Ain't no quick fix at the end of a needle. It's just people, loving people. Whoa, whoa,
and we're going to stop there because I don't want to torture you. Great opening riff.
Oh, yeah, that holds.
I would not have thought this was a Garth Brooks song because you're a country artist, Garth. What the heck? And even the opening lyrics, I thought it was pretty good. But, dude, you lost me on the chorus. The chorus just stunk. It was too high-pitched for you, if I'm going to. It was not a country song. You're losing your country street cred. And have you become a peacenik all of a sudden? I mean, what in the world?
See, up until now, you just sounded like Simon Cowell, without the accent. But now you've gone political. And,
yeah, well, besides the lyrics, forget the lyrics, even though I think the lyrics are horrible, not to mention theologically incorrect, because Jesus is the enemy of all that's evil.
not people loving people, even though it's good to love people. We're to love God, love others. Hugs, not drugs.
Anyway, I agree with you. I think the song was really pretty good until we got to the chorus, and it
and then it just goes downhill from there.
It.
Yes, and I've listened to it a number of times, trying to and just this is not what I would have led with if I were him, you know, doing my comeback. So best of luck to Garth Brooks, but this is not a good start. So anyway. That's our one musical.
Oh, no, we got to do this
we'll
more
have
often.
To do this. We'll
gotta
become
do this
music
more
critics.
Often.
Yes.
Now that you've opened this door, look out. Next thing you know, we'll have an oldies segment.
Oh,
I will enjoy
definitely.
That, and you will be cringing.
But that, you know, we talk about current events. How can we discuss oldies if we're doing current events? Anyway.
We'll find a way.
Brian,
listen,
we'll find
I'm
a way.
Fossil. We will find a way.
Oh, and further on in the news, unfortunately, it was some sad news, or happy, I guess depends on your political party, in Virginia. I think it's always sad, regardless of party, when an elected official falls. Governor Bob McDonnell was convicted Thursday on a range of corruption charges in connection with gifts and loans accepted from a wealthy businessman, marking a stunning fall for the one-time rising Republican star. A lot of people thought he was going to run 2016, and now he might run for,
Do they have offices in the slammer?
Yeah. Let me be the grounds guy, boss. I'll do that. Anyway, that's sad.
Well, the whole thing
and
was...
they're facing about 30 years. He and his wife are both facing about 30 years in prison. Well, which would be pretty much a life sentence for him.
And the whole thing was really sad too. When all that detail about their marriage and the difficulties she's got.
Yes.
It just
and obviously they got into their lifestyle was inappropriate. They run into some problems with debt. Obviously, marriage was falling apart. So it's just a sad story all around. Moving on, Braley comes out with a ad against Joni Ernst. Listen.
I'm Bruce Braley, and I approve this message.
Take a closer look at Joni Ernst. In the state Senate, Ernst sponsored an amendment to outlaw abortion, even in cases of rape or incest. An Ernst bill would have banned many common forms of birth control.
She's
Ernst
evil.
Even wants criminal punishment for doctors who perform an abortion.
I think the provider should be punished if there were a First Amendment.
Joni Ernst. Radical ideas. Wrong for Iowa.
Like the subliminal messages that we were sending. Yeah. Sarah Palin, Koch Brothers, pro-life. Oh, my!
When I saw that ad, I was convinced this was going to actually help Joni.
I know. Because she, this helps actually shore up some of her base, I think. So,
that's exactly
so
what
thank
I thought.
Thank you, Bruce. You
saved us some money.
You're just a gift that keeps on giving. So, dude, you're on the wrong side of this issue. First of all, it's not a primary issue. Apparently, you're trying to take the war on women and, lump Joni Ernst in with that. Who's a woman. That's interesting. But secondly, America's trending pro-life. And, ideally, if you are going to restrict abortion, if you're going to eliminate abortion, if you're going to make it illegal, would it not make sense to have criminal penalties? I would think so, even if they end up being fines and not prison time. But where he could probably paint her as more of a radical is if she wanted to criminalize moms. That would probably be the thing that I think would turn off some of the independents. And most pro-life folks don't go there because they know politically speaking, it's a non-starter. I know there's some folks that would disagree with me on that, but generally speaking, pro-life legislation is going to go anywhere. Would just have penalties against doctors, which would make sense because... Congressman Braley, if they are killing a baby, which they are, a life that has begun, that's murder, and there should be criminal penalties.
And there probably were penalties like that on the books prior to 1973.
Absolutely. So we're going back. This is not a radical thing. This is common sense.
But these ads, as I've been watching them lately, they're just hilarious because the Democratic ads are the same worn out ones that we've seen in years past. They protect lawyers. They protect huge and intrusive government and the slaughter of the unborn. What a program.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's let's get out the vote.
Woo. Yippee.
So and it's just amazing, too. It's just it's funny. I turn on the radio or watch TV. And it's like Koch brothers. Koch brothers. Koch brothers.
Sarah Palin.
Koch brothers. It's like, really? Okay. You know, I suppose Republicans are probably saying, George Soros. George Soros. But this is really all you have to offer? The Koch brothers. They are not... They are not that influential, really. And frankly, they're not even as rich as George Soros. So the left has billionaires funding them, too. So let's just, come on, let's knock it off. Let's talk about issues. This is just bogus nonsense.
There are issues?
Yeah, believe really? It or not. Hey, well, we're out of time for this segment. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Stay tuned.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'd like to invite you to our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on Saturday, September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. It starts at 8 a.m. and you can register at CaffeinatedThoughts.com by following the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link.
We've got a great list of speakers, including Eric Gorenson, Dr. Bob Stouffer, State Senator Jack Whitford, Jennifer Bowen, Dr. Sam Clovis, and Dr. E. Calvin Beisner.
This conference is sponsored by M&A Movement and Hauling Providence, Industrial Electronics Repair, and Nurse Force.
Hi, this is Brian Myers at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on September 20th in Des Moines. I want to also invite you to attend Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston, Iowa, the following day, where Dr. James Wanless of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation will be lecturing after the morning worship service. Reverend Michael Erickson will be preaching on a Christian worldview. So come at 9:30 the morning of September 21st. And enjoy a great time of worship, preaching, and instruction at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church, meeting at the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. That's the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. See you there.
Welcome back, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call Adam or Brian at 515-491-6348, and they'll send you a couple of guys. We'll come to our last brief segment here, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the DNC chair. You know, Bruce Braley is the gift that keeps on giving, but so is Debbie. Oh, she adds spice to political life. It was reported by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that she made some interesting comments about Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. She says, Scott Walker has given women the back of his hand. I know that is stark. I know that is direct. I know that is reality. What Republican Tea Party extremists like Scott Walker are doing is they're grabbing us by the hair and pulling us back. It's not going to happen on our watch, she said.
They're evil.
Koch brothers.
Sarah Palin. Tea Party. Extremists.
What in the world would you use a domestic violence reference? That, Debbie.
What's Limbaugh call her? Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz or something?
That's appropriate because she just runs at the mouth and obviously her party likes it or else because they keep her on his chair. I don't know why.
I think that says a lot about the party.
Exactly. So
I'm dead serious when I say that. When you have someone like this that is just indescribably foolish in the things that she says day in and day out, and this is the person you want as your spokesperson for your national party, what's that say about you?
Not good things. Hey, by the way, Debbie Wasserman Schultz will not be speaking at the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing. I have to admit, that would be actually entertaining. I would be entertained by that, because I would hand out tomatoes. And no,
would anybody come?
Probably
would anybody
not
show up.
We would alienate our base.
Okay, all right. Back to the briefing.
You can come and mock her. No. But she, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, will not be there. But the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing will have some great speakers. We talked to one earlier today, Steve Lonergan. He's going to be talking about monetary policy. See, Calvin Beisner's coming on the 20th, by the way, 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. And they have just finished their renovations, and it looks great. So we're looking forward to being in their new addition. You can register online at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Go to the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing at the top of the page. Make sure you pre-register because the price does go up a little bit at the door, so you get a little bit of a break if you do it online beforehand.
And by the way, we will be having a lunch.
Absolutely. We will feed you. We will give you coffee. I mean, can we not be Caffeinated Thoughts and not give you coffee? By the way, we will be giving you actual coffee to take home. The American Pride Roasters.
New sponsor,
and they're going to be giving those who come sample packets of their stuff. And they have this, I think it's Andrew Jackson blend. It has chicory in it. It's awesome. I hope they have some samples because I'm going to grab.
Andrew Jackson blend.
Love it. Yeah, they name their blends after presidents. So, and they're local coffee roasters. So we're that's just a match made in heaven, really. I mean, Caffeinated Thoughts, American Pride Roasters, beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, so we're happy to have them on board. Again, that's Saturday, September 20th. Also, Dr. James Wanless is going to be speaking the next day. He's with the
Cornwall Alliance
for the stewardship of creation. That's a mouthful.
It is.
But he's going to be speaking at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church the following day. What time is that?
Morning worship's at 9:30, and Dr. Wanless's lecture will be right after the morning service.
Okay, so that'll be the 21st, obviously. So come for the service and stay around for Dr. Wanless. That'll be great. He's a professor of physics, correct, with Presbyterian College in South Carolina. Anyway.
Our quote of the day is from John Piper. But whatever you do, find the God-centered, Christ-exalting, Bible-saturated passion of your life. And find your way to say it and live for it and die for it. And you will make a difference that lasts. You will not waste your life.
Amen. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. See you next week.